I tell you, we getting all in the Black History Month. We just going and going and going. That is for sure. Hey, I just want to say we having a little issue here with the chat room. So we may not actually have a chat room today. I don't know what's going on. I tell you, Blog Talk Radio just done. They didn't change everything up and nothing seems to work right anymore. Wow, that's just crazy. I don't know what I'm going to do without my chat room. I just got to do a little bit more talking. Oh, well, it'd be okay. It'd be okay. Once again, welcome to the show. The topic of the show today is Science versus Religion. And I'm looking for a real spirited conversation on that. I mean, when I say spirited, I mean really, really, really spirited. Of course I do. Now, before we get started, of course, there's always the disclaimer I have to give out. The show covers some very touchy topics, and at times, you know, conversation gets heated and things are said during the conversation. Well, if it happens to offend anyone, I do apologize. It's not intentional, and we don't want to hurt your feelings because we appreciate you as listeners. However, you know, it is an adult show and things happen. So, I just want to say, I apologize. Just in case you do become offended or, you know, get a little sensitive about what we'll be talking about. Okay? There we go. If you want to join in the conversation today, it would look like you don't have to call in. Just give me a call, 347-838-8622. Email me at ericstalk@gmail.com or you can follow me on Twitter at DrivenForLife62. Or you can go to my Facebook page, Eric Let's Talk. That's a bad one. That's wrong. Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com. That's where you can find it at. And leave me a message and, you know, give me ideas for topics or whatever you want to do. You know, it's all good. It's all good. And let's see, since we have that out of the way, once again, we are having a little trouble with the chat room. So the chat room may not be up today. Well, I don't know. I'm going to keep trying, but I don't know. You know, a lot of my listeners, they come in the chat room, you know, make it easy for them. But I don't know what's going on right now, but we'll figure it out. Well, until then, let's go on and talk about what we're going to talk about. Now, of course, you know, there's other things going on around the country that sometimes we need to talk about. 510, I see you out there. Welcome to the show. And this is what we're going to talk about for right now. The Postal Service said they're going to stop delivering mail on Saturday to help cut costs. That's right, yesterday. The post office said they plans to end Saturday mail delivery. And the reason why, because they're struggling. The money is really, really low. And apparently, if they stop this, they will save up to $2 million. That's a whole lot of money. $2 million. Yep. I didn't know the post office actually. I'm sorry. It's saving about $2 billion, not million, but billions with the B. Wow. And it's supposed to take effect in August. However, now see, I didn't even know this. And I thought the post office just ran on its own, was an independent agency. However, it is to a certain extent. To a certain extent, yeah. But apparently Congress has a little bit to say about when they do a delivery. And for some reason, there's a provision that insists on a Saturday delivery that the mailman delivers mail on Saturday. So I don't know how this is going to work between Congress and the Postal Service. But they plan on stopping delivering mail August. Now, they're just talking about first-class mail, the letters and things like that. But if you have boxes and things like that, you still receive those on Saturday. Okay? So just heads up. I'm sure there'll be more to come on this. I'm sure. Wow. Stopping it. Ain't that something? Stopping mail on just delivering on Saturday will save them $2 billion. That sure is a lot of money for some walking around and cool. Okay, well, that's it for that. Okay, the next story I want to talk about is the Boy Scouts, the Boy Scouts, the Boy Scouts. Here we go. All right, Boy Scouts of America consider ending ban on gay members. Now, here's something crazy. In July of 2012, after a 2-year review by 11 members of a special committee, the Boy Scouts of America reaffirmed a policy Tuesday banning gay leaders and scouts. The committee unanimously came to the conclusion that this policy is absolutely the best policy for the Boy Scouts. Okay, now fast forward to today. And now they're reconsidering once again and then the ban on gays. What's wrong? They can't make up their mind? They can't make up their mind? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. How y'all feel about that? Will it be public knowledge that the leader, one of the Boy Scout leaders or troop leaders, gay? Would that bother you if your kid was there? Or would you say, as long as there's no problems, you wouldn't have a problem with it? I don't know. The Boy Scouts of America is considering dropping a longtime ban on gay members and discussing whether to allow local organizations to decide their own policy. So I think what the big group is trying to say is, they really don't want any part of it. So to get the make it easy on them, they just let the local groups, the local groups decide whether they want to allow gays in their Boy Scouts. I think that's a cop out. I think they should make a decision one way or another. What you think? Being this is a national membership restriction regarding sexual orientation. So why do you just want to leave it up to a small group? I don't know. Now, July 18th, that wasn't too far ago. That's what, 6-7 months ago? Now they're reviewing it all over again? Mm-mm-mm. Political pressure is something else. I'll tell you, it just drives you crazy. I bet they're scratching their head. I don't know, though. I think I'm a pretty open-minded person. But I don't know. With the way things are going right now, to have a gay person over the kids and Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. I don't know. I don't know about that one. I really have to sit down and pray on that one because that's something serious. that is really something serious to consider. Would you actually? Oh boy, I don't know. Now, if it became one of those like the military used to have, don't ask, don't tell. That's fine. That's fine. Let them do what they want to, which they are probably already doing anyway. But if any of them decide to openly come out and say, yes, I'm gay, Well, then, yeah, there may be some repercussions behind all that. Okay, and those are just the two little top stories I want to talk about today before we want to get into the top, the big story. Okay, so let's talk, y'all. Today the topic is science versus religion. Americans are almost evenly divided between those who feel science conflicts with religion and those who do not. Now, that's just a tease. Y'all want me to read that again? Okay. Americans are almost evenly divided between those who feel science conflicts with religion and those who do not. Once again, I want to thank everybody for joining me today on Let's Talk. And if you want to get in on the conversation, just give me a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at driven4r life62. Or just stop by my Facebook page and leave me a message, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. All right, now that we have all that stuff out of the way. Now, I also want to say I do apologize for the chat room not being up, because the chat room has, the chat room is, we have some difficulties getting that pulled up. So, once again, I do apologize. I keep trying, but I don't know. Since Blog Talk went to this new format there, things are just working however they want to work. Oh, Lord. Anyway, I just got a text that said the Boy Scouts probably lose some members. And you're probably right. They're probably right. I know. I would have to really think about it. Okay, let's get into this religion and science thing. All right. Now, 3 out of 5 scientists do not believe in God, okay, but 2 out of 5 do. This is according to John Donvan, who gave a speech on December the 7th, 2012, opening a debate on the issue of science and religion. Now, here's the first question I want to ask, and hopefully the lines will light up as I ask this question. Does science refute religion? Now, does science refute religion, or does science address a different set of questions with answers that can point toward religious truths? Okay. Does science, now, let's talk about this thing. Does science refute everything that we know today as far as religion? You know, how the earth was created, the Noah's Ark. You know, does science, you know, just kill that thought process and not, you know, prove that that never existed? Or better yet, let's talk about the creation of the earth. Let's talk about that, the creation of the earth. What you think about that? Does science say it had to be thing, there was no supreme being that created the heavens and earth? Y'all, come on now, y'all don't go to sleep on me now. I'm telling you. You know. In the 1850s, what's his name? Charles Darwin's theory of evolution. You know what that is? They said that was the last good argument against God. Oh, Lord. For those who don't know what that is. Let's see. Concepts and theory. Wow. And it's three basic things to his theory. One is microevolution, which is the occurrence and build up of mutations in the genetic sequence of an organism. Okay. The second one is natural selection. I think this is the one a lot of people know about and believe, for those that do believe in Darwinism. Natural selection is a natural mechanism by which the fittest members of a species survive to pass on the genetic information, while the weakest are eliminated, die off, because they are unable to compete in the wild. The only problem with that is we're not in the wild, right? And we're not, well, I can't say we're really killing off each other, but I don't know about that one. But basically, the bottom line is the strongest survive. You know, natural selection, that's the one that a lot of people attribute to why and how the earth got started. And number three, speciation, which occurs when members of a species mutate to the point where they are no longer able to breed with other members of the same species. Okay, we can knock that one out of the box too. But even though I'm sure there are some people out there trying to do that, that's not what we're trying to do at all, at all. So that's science. You know, that was science. Of course, you know, you got the Big Bang Theory, which says about 50 billion years ago, a tremendous explosion started the expansion of the universe. So there was a big boom, and then all of a sudden, there was the universe. That's the Big Bang Theory. Now, for the others, us other people, we know that, well, okay. Well, Christians say God created the heavens and earth according to the Bible. Correct? Correct. Now, as far as the Muslims and others, I really can't tell you what they really believe in. However, even with all their beliefs, does science refute any of those claims? Can science actually prove that none of that really happened? Now, I know we've had this discussion before, and Stanley argued and argued and argued that there is no proof that any of this happened because he's basing his theories on science. Well, I'm here to tell you, I don't know. I want to hear from y'all today. Once again, I do apologize. The chat room is not open. We're having some issues with that. So we won't be able to have don't look like we'll be able to have an outside conversation there. However, if you want to get on the conversation, 347-838-8622, give me a call. We can talk right there. All right, let me see, 510-504-214. I see you out there. Thank you for joining today. Hey, if y'all want to make a comment, just hit one. Just hit one on your keypad, and I'll see you there. And we can do this thing, all right? Now, the question I do have out there now, does science refute what religion says about how the world got started? That's what I want to know, y'all. Does it? Or does science just address a whole different set of questions, you know, with answers that can point toward religious truth? As in the ark. Everybody's been searching for the ark, and supposedly it's up on Mount Sinai. However, you know, everybody's been up there looking. Some say they found pieces of wood in one place and pieces of wood somewhere else. But nobody has really been able to find the complete ark. So, does that say that the ark never existed? Or, here's a thought about it. Religion, let's talk about religion. Is religion just something that's faith-based that we as humans made up to help us survive? What about that question? Could that be it? Could that be it? We took bits and pieces of what we knew and created a God to where we felt to help us survive and make it where we wanted to go. What about that one? What about that? Huh? So if that's the case, can science actually refute that or say that doesn't work or it didn't work? I don't know. That's a good question. How would science refute? I mean, they're steady looking, but however, it's like they're steady finding bits and pieces here and there. You know, so wouldn't that say science may be just a little bit off? Just a little bit. If they keep finding certain things, because here's my belief, I'm going to tell you. My belief is they're only going to find things when it's time for them to find it. Okay, so I don't care what science say about how this doesn't exist and this didn't happen, because I truly believe it did, and it didn't have anything to do with science. I don't believe in the evolution, because I'm going to tell you, I didn't evolve from an ape. I'm just going to tell you that straight up. I didn't. Especially since apes are still running around, Okay, maybe that's part of the speciation that they came up with. But no, I'm not buying that either. The Big Bang Theory, whether it was just an explosion and that was it. Well, here's my counter to that. Why was there only one big explosion? Why aren't we still having big explosions? Because we already know the universe is infinite. You know, it's out there. We know this. But there's not, I mean, where's another Big Bang? If a Big Bang happened and it created all this, right, why are there other Big Bangs going on creating other things? Now, here's another thought. Big Bang theory, bam, boom, boom, there it is. But that still doesn't explain how humans got here, how grass and animals or any of that got here. So after a big boom, we just showed up. We just showed up on Earth, and that's the way it was, right? So I don't think the Big Bang theory really has a lot of a lot of meat behind it. I'm just saying. Now y'all can talk to me if I'm saying something y'all don't agree with. Give me a call 347-838-8622. Once again, I do apologize because the chat room is not open. But anyway, so come on, y'all, talk to me. Does science refute religion? I think I just use religion to refute science. Because all I know is the Bible says God created the heavens and the earth. And there wasn't no Big Bang and all that. Took him 6 days, and on seventh day, he took a break. He rested. Okay, that's what I know. Now, I know some of you out there with other ideas, so tell me about them. Tell me about them. I'm listening. We got a whole 2 hours to talk. So come on, y'all. Oh, tell me. Say something. Make me dance around here today. Okay? Or does, and like I asked before, does science address a different set of questions with answers that can point toward religious truth? So can we actually use science to prove that religion or that religion really is, you know, the things that's based on religion really did exist or really did happen back in the day? I think we could do that. But however, if 3 out of 5 scientists do not believe in God, then, you know, they're going at it skeptically, which is not may not be a bad thing. If they don't believe, that means they're looking to debunk it. So they're looking to debunk. Once they find stuff, it can't help but say, okay, this must be true, right? I don't know. You know, religion. You know what I should have done? You know what? Religion is something that is dear to a lot of folk. And we have so many different religions. And I think that's what kind of throws everything off, because you have Islam, you have Christianity, you have Hinduism, Buddhism, y'all know what I'm trying to say, Buddhism, oh Lord. So you have the monks, you have just all kinds of, I mean, people are making up their own religion as they go. They really do. So I know the main ones, Christianity, Islam, and Buddha. You know, now I know there's the other types out there. So if you know one, you can let me know. But here's the thing. We got all these different religions out there, right? All these different religions. But is it all one religion, or is it a multitude of religions with different beliefs? And this is why I'm saying this. Because most religions, they have a supreme, a lot of them, the majority of them believe in a supreme being. Okay. Now, regardless whether that being a statue, like some do, or just the belief that there's someone else over everybody, that's part of religion. Right, that's part of religion. So, should we group all that into one big bowl and say, okay, this is religion here. Now, on the other side, we'll take science. Now, of course, science has the Big Bang theory and evolution, and just everyday, what people call everyday, just regular thinking. you know, the atheism and all that. Okay, to where we got religion here and science there. Now, here we go. Science. What is science doing? What is science doing? What is science doing to prove that religion's not there? I don't know, man. This thing going on. Somebody, I got a message saying I'm a little choppy. I don't know, y'all. Like I say, Blog Talk, they changed some things, and no telling what's going on. You know, everything, since they changed it, ain't nothing been working right. Nothing at all. So I do apologize if I'm a little choppy. Hopefully y'all can hear me okay, though. Hopefully y'all can hear me okay. But, you know, scientists have been trying for years to say that there was no creator. And there's a lot of people that argue out there that the Bible is not even a real honest account of what happened. That's true. As we know, there's some things in the Bible, if you read the Bible, you know, there's some things that make you scratch your head. However, as far as I know, that is the only thing that gives me any kind of account of what happened before I was here. So if that's the case, science still has not proven that it didn't exist. It hasn't. I mean, they've come up with their own little ideas of what may have happened, and, you know, they tried to tell, I don't know how they're going to hypothesize and test Big Bang Theory. But I don't know. I don't know. 347-838-8622. You're listening to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to join in the conversation, give me a call. Today's topic is science versus religion. And what do you believe? That's right. Am I sounding better out there? Now, I'm trying to adjust something here. Do I sound a little bit better? All right, y'all, where my debate is at? I know somebody want to talk about this besides me today. My chat room ain't up, so everybody's having problems, huh? Wow. All right, if you want to get a hold of me, just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Eric Jackson 62. And you should be able to find me. Since I don't have a chat room up, you may not be able to type in the talk and come up on the chat room today. So I'm just letting you know, because there are issues going on. Ba-da, ba-da. Okay, now. We have got a lot of things going on. We really do. Science. Does science refute religion? I hear something. I'm hearing all by myself, and I'm hearing things in my head. I think I'm going crazy. I really am. I tell you what, let me take a short break and see if I can figure out what the heck is going on, and I'll be back here in about 2 to 3 minutes, okay? Don't go nowhere. Just hang out. Thank you. right, y'all. Hey, welcome. Welcome back. Hey. Hope y'all enjoyed that. I don't know what's going on with the chat room, man. It's just not acting right. So we going to go on and say no chat room today, okay, because it's not acting right. And hopefully I'm sounding a little better than I was. Ebony, I see you out there. Thank you for joining today. All right, y'all. Once again, you listen to Let's Talk, and the topic today is religion versus science. Okay, and if you want to join in, 347-838-8622. I do once again do apologize for not having my chat room up for some technical difficulties. And we just will not come up, so I don't know what's going on. But for those that just joined, I put a question out there, and maybe you can respond to it. Okay, and it's in relation to the science and religion. And here's the first question that I put out there that I'll wait for somebody to answer. Does science refute religion? Does science refute religion? Or does science address a different set of questions with answers that point toward religious truths? Huh? Come on, somebody answer me out there. I want to know what it say. Does it? Does science actually refute religion? Now, like I said, you got Big Bang Theory, you got evolution, you got whatever else they may have out there. But does science actually refute religion? Wow, somebody jumped to the top of the list. Let me see what we got going on. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Mr. Solution. How are you doing?
Good. I'm your Huckleberry. What's the question?
Does science refute religion?
Oh, absolutely not. Science can't refute religion if you understand it in the proper context. And understand this, there's a common basis for all human endeavor, and that is a conviction or a belief. If you study science, and I recommend going to PBS, go to the Brian Greene website. That is very illuminating. They talk about, that gets into metaphysics, cosmology, epistemology, and ontology. So those are very, very profound subjects, by the way. And the greatest question of all is, why is there anything instead of nothing? Very few people want to deal with that. I know Carl Sagan didn't want to deal with it. He avoided it because I think he understood the implication. Something has to have the power of what we call being within itself, a aseity, if you please, and that is self-existence. See, everything in creation, hence the name creation, is dependent upon a creator. Everything. Nothing, you know, the second law of thermodynamics talks about, it deals with heat and the dissipation of heat, but basically it's the best and most well-founded law in science. And what it deals with is the decay. Everything moves from a state of order to a state of disorder. You're born, you grow old, you die. That happens to people and mountains. They change. Everything changes. You follow me?
I follow you.
Yeah. So that's the fundamental question, and you know, too many people are scared to deal with that. If something has the power of being, because if there were nothing, would we be having this conversation? Obviously not. So the fact that anything exists is a definite, direct, argument. There are many, many others. I was listening to Brian Greene, and he was talking about the gravitational force and impact of dark matter. And let me see if I can restate that. Impact of dark matter in terms of the expansion of the universe is point, okay, decimal
mm-hmm.
point, decimal point, with 122 zeros followed
wow.
by a one. Hold on. It gets better or worse depending on your conviction. If you remove just a few of those zeros, everything will not be. In other words, the anthropic principle that the universe was divine, very finely tuned, and that's what that number represents. a decimal point, 122 zeros, and then a one. That's supposed that they've calculated the strength of gravity vis-a-vis dark matter. And, again, they know about dark matter from its influence. They can't see it. And some scientists have postulated they'll never see it because it exists in another dimension. They understand that there are other dimensions. They're just, they say, wrapped up or balled up so tightly we can't observe them. But, it's really good science, investigation and exploration and that sort of thing. But now your question was, does science refute religion? No, they answer different questions, but they are very necessary because you had science producing, say, Hitler, a type of Nazi Germany. Those were very educated people. Mm-hmm. And, if you want to talk about being very educated, that does not mean moral. It just simply means you're educated. One can do very immoral things. And I think we have the annals and records and chronicles of history to point that out very, very, very lucidly. No, absolutely not. They do different things. Religion, I think, has to govern science. I'll give you an example. The question was asked once, if you saw, say, they said young men, but if you saw five young men approaching you coming down a dark alley, would it make a difference to you if they had just come from Bible study?
Would it make a difference? Yeah, just for the perception anyway.
Why?
The perception they came from Bible study is not harmful.
Wait, you broke up a little bit.
It's the perception that they're coming from Bible study. They're harmless. I guess it's the perception that is.
Well, yeah, and let's talk about the likelihood. The likelihood of someone coming from Bible study, meeting you in a vulnerable place, and they will do you injury, is less likely than not. I mean, let's be candid about this.
Right.
Yeah, you could replace them with girls now, but anyway, we'll leave that as it is. But the point of it is we are obfuscators, we cloud things, we tend to avoid real issues of essence. So you need religion to lay a foundation for how our scientific developments actually are implemented. Because you can take science, they will create an atomic bomb and say, drop it, release it, release the dogs.
That's true.
So you can't look at it just that way. You have to understand the integration, the integration of the different disciplines.
Okay. Well, before you go any further, I want to welcome Michael to the show. Michael, you there?
Yeah, how you doing?
All right, we doing all right.
I'm scared now. Damn.
All right.
How you doing this afternoon, Mr. Solution? How you doing?
I'm running for cover.
I don't know why. I'm not debating with you. See, you already know as an attorney, when you speak facts, there's no debating. You had that attorney on that side, when you have that facts on your side, there's no debating, miss. I'm not here to debate with you.
Michael, I'm teasing. That's levity.
I'm teasing, too.
Yeah, that's
well, as Mr. Solution always say, I think we're overlooking something. See, there's two types of sciences. See, there's the natural science that I love, that we can manipulate and we can make out of factual information and everything can run smoothly and we can all communicate well and it can enhance our lives, medicine, the natural sciences. But then we have the science that Mr. Solution gave a great presentation on, the theoretical science. And that theoretical science, and I'm speaking facts, is just like religion. It's equal to religion because it comes from thought. See, all thought is limited. All knowledge is limited. Or not all knowledge, sir, you can't attain all knowledge. Now, for instance, what I'm saying is, see, the theoretical science, they'll look at the stars and they'll get the telescopes and they can reach at the far distance. And they can see, well, we see two little red dots at the edge of the universe. And they see facts. You see that fact there? That's a fact. But this is what they'll do. They'll go into their religion. Theoretical science is like a religion. They have their own culture. They sell books, and they have people who do this, and they call themselves atheists, and they do this, and all that type of stuff. And they'll look at those things, and they'll start coming up things of Big Bang, black matter, different forces and things of that nature, and they come up, and they be theoretical. See, every time we say theory, it's not a fact. It's just like a belief. They believe in something. You really can't prove it. You can't really measure it. Those numbers that he was talking about is still theory, and it's called a Google, you know, with all those ones with those thousands of zeros behind it. Yeah, I mean, that's an old calculation, but that's also a theory. See?
Well, Michael, hold on there. You're wrong about that. Some of it starts as theory. You're right. But then the most powerful tool of science is testability. So a lot
right.
of those, as you said, they start out as an egg, like a theory, and then they test them, just like they tested Einstein's theory of general.
Look, stop, you cut me off. See, once you said Einstein's theory of relativity, it's a theory,
yeah, and Michael, hold on.
You cut me off. I listened to you for so you. Okay, I'll listen.
Hey,
okay.
Well, what I'm saying is, and I'll let you go ahead, but I'm just saying you're wrong
Don't say Einstein's theory is proven when you say theory. You're contradicting yourself, so you can't address it as a theory, and you say it's a fact. You can't say it. So you have to address it another way.
This is the reason, so, you know, you
so
don't
you cut
understand.
Me off. You okay, listen, I'm listening, man.
You say theory, but it becomes law. You have hypothesis, theory, law. Hypothesis, theory, law. I would encourage you to go to that particular website and educate yourself a little bit. What you're saying has an embryonic correctness to it.
Oh, no. You're cutting me off. How can you cut me off? You haven't let me finish, and then you're saying I'm wrong when you haven't even let me finish. Sir, you haven't even let me finish my thought, and then you're saying what I'm saying is wrong when I haven't even finished what I'm saying. You're the problem. Now, you're contradicting yourself, sir, when you tell me that something is a theory and then you tell me go to the book and see if it's proven.
Talk
I'm letting
it out
you
of here.
Know it's not.
I don't
it's
know
a
what
theory. You can't say a theory is a fact. Is it
you're
a fact?
Fool.
And look, is Einstein's theory, is it a fact?
You don't even look words up.
I'm asking you yes or no.
Answer
to the world. Is Einstein's theory a fact or is it a theory?
Hypothesis, theory, law. Hypothesis.
I'm asking you, is it a fact?
It's a fact when they prove it, Michael.
And I'm asking you, has it been proven?
Yes.
No, because it's a thing it has not.
What are you talking about?
It has not. It's not a fact. Facts is actuality, and that is what I'm saying. You have the natural scientist that deals in facts that we can measure, and you have the theoretical science. He is still theoretical science. Yo, I will make you look like a fool on this phone. Do not challenge me. Let me finish my thought.
Yes. What are you talking about? What hasn't been proven? Define what you're talking about.
Sir, when you listen, I'm going to calm down because you cut me off and I was
what
trying to see, have a nice
hasn't
day.
Been proven? Let's just
you
go
are an
this.
Attorney. You deal in terminology. You know legislating and law is all about terminology, Mr. Solution.
Yeah,
that's
Eric,
why you're
Eric,
very
are you
articulate.
There?
No, listen to me, sir.
Yes, I am here.
When you say the word theory, that means it has not been proven. It is equal to a belief.
Michael,
that
shut
is a
up.
Fact. Well, look it up. That's a fact. That's a
and
fact.
I don't know what
there's no debating that. Can you debate what I just said? You can't.
Shut up!
No, yes. You shut up. You shut
right.
up, fool.
All right.
You don't check. He cut me off, Mr. Talk. I was going into my thing. He cut me the fuck off.
right, go ahead, but you're talking out of your ass.
No, you're talking out of your fucking ass. Now, how
right,
could you...
Right, hold it.
You want to come to the table with me? Come on to the table with me. I'll challenge you any
Michael,
day, brother.
Michael,
come on.
Michael, hush. Good Lord.
We
now,
can sit at the table.
Here's the question. What is it that hasn't been proven, Michael?
What are you talking about?
As you said, it's a theory and it hasn't been proven.
When you say, sir, when you say the word theory, you're saying a concept that is not a fact. Hold on. So what is it? So I'm gonna ask you, what is the meaning of a theory?
A theory is a part of a process to get to fact, Michael.
Right. So okay. So if you call it a theory, you cannot say it's a fact. You say it's the process of getting to the fact, but it's not a fact. It's still in the theory phase. So it's not a fact. So like I said when I first started, there's two type of science. The
you
science
define
is the
what
fact
you're talking
the
about.
Science.
You haven't defined. What are
you
talking
me
about?
Off. Yo, I'm sorry. I'm gone for the day, man.
Good. Great. Fantastic.
Okay. All right, let me bring Lo in. Wow. All right, Lo, you on air.
What's going on, gentlemen?
Nothing, man.
I'm listening. I said gentlemen.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Hi, Lo, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing, Mr. Solutions? I'm cordial enough to bring a greetings to you, sir.
Always excellent. Thank you. And the greeting is returned.
There you go. Thank you, sir. I'm doing outstanding, man. I had a heck of a day. My wife got up and, you know, I made her breakfast. She went to work, and now she's at the gym. I went to the gym, and I made myself a little, you know, as we call it, a COSCOM run. And I'm outstanding, man. Just got a shower and listening in. So I guess I'll bring my two cents forth. Okay, first and foremost, one thing that no one has said anything about is what the Bible has to say about any of this. We're talking about Einstein. Einstein asked for a Bible on his deathbed. We talk about all these theories and everything else. All of this, we talked about all of that. No one has said anything about what that Holy Bible has to say. The problem is people have been dumbed down to the point where the Bible doesn't even exist to them anymore. And I'll quote one of my associates. It's just a book full of fairy tales, you know. And so I asked him often, well, you said it's a book full of fairy tales. Well, why don't you eat pork? Oh, well, I just don't want to. Why not? You know, why aren't you just living it up, doing everything under the sun? You don't believe in anything. You said you are God. So, okay, anyway, but as far as science, I believe in my heart that science comes from a form of sorcery. We do know that pharmaceuticals comes from the word pharmaki, which is sorcery. And through science, you get your pharmaceuticals. I can never say to anyone, I evolved from a monkey, because that's pure ignorance. Until people actually sit down and understand what the Bible is telling them, everything that's going on in this world right now, you can find it in the scripture. Every single thing that is and has happened, nothing is new under the sun. Anything you're looking for. The problem is, and I grew up in a Baptist church, and I'm glad that chain was broken from around my neck. The problem is they don't encourage you to read the Old Testament. Only thing that you'll find out is you go to church, and I asked my cousin, I said, how is it that any time in Scripture, when someone came up on an angel or the Lord, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. When someone came up on an angel or a higher, which is his name by the book in Scripture, why is it that they would always fall to their faces, but when you get in these churches and these people supposedly have received the Holy Ghost, they fall on their backs? That is a contradiction. You have never seen anywhere in the Scripture where anyone has fallen on their backs in the Scripture. from receiving the Holy Spirit. So, like I say, the thing is, you have to sit down and you have to have a grounding somewhere. If you don't have a grounding anywhere, then, hey, you'll jump on any bandwagon that comes along. You know, just as, what's his name, the guy that usually call in all the time, talking about relationships.
Talking about relationships.
Yeah. Golly, the guy that used to call in, he lives in New York, I think. Stanley.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Stanley, yeah, Stanley. Stanley said he had a bad experience as far as quote-unquote religion is concerned, so he turned his back on it altogether.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way you fix that problem. You have to find out why you had that experience, and what you have to do is you have to come to the understanding within yourself. You have to sit down and you have to read this Bible. I mean, you can, of course, read a book by Dr. So-and-so and this person and that person, and for the most part, the majority of the books that are written, 85% of the books that are written on parenting are written by people that have PhDs and don't have children. So what exactly can you tell me about parenting if you don't have a child?
Okay, hold on for a minute. Let me bring Lady in and see what she has to add to the conversation. Okay, hello, Lady. Hello.
How you going?
All right, how you doing?
No, delivery.
Delivery? Uh-huh. Hello?
Hello?
Okay. Yes, you're on the air.
Well, I'm at work right now, sir. I was just listening now.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right.
All right, they pushed the wrong button. But anyway, let me get to the next question then. All right, here's the next question. Does science address a different set of questions with answers that can point toward religious truths? Hello? Anybody?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Me?
Say that
I'm
again.
Sorry.
Okay, does science address a different set of questions with answers that can point toward religious truths?
You're going to have to repeat once again because you broke up. Does science address a what type of questions?
A different set of questions with answers that can point toward religious truths.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And see what Michael, and I like Michael, but he doesn't know what he doesn't know. He doesn't know how to listen. And so the thing of it is, you know, science uses mathematics, and they will even tell you. That's why that PBS series is so good, and the book by Dr. Stephen Hawking's A Brief History of Time, and also Dr. Steven Weinberg's book, I believe The First 3 Minutes After the Big Bang. There's great information. Our quantum physics, which they use in Las Vegas, you know, where you can't predict an exact outcome, but you know based on a set of predictions what the outcomes will be. And that's why the House, I think, takes like 80%. So the House knows that it's going to win based on the way it sets up their models, you know, and this sort of thing. You follow what I'm saying, Eric? So it's not just theory. And you said it correctly. A theory, it's a part of a process. Hypothesis, theory, law, okay? Or hypothesis, theory, fact, if you please. So science is very, very much into factual pronouncements. And they'll even say, if we can't test it repeatedly, reliably, then, right, it shouldn't be relegated to science. However, there are some things that obviously go beyond science that science is based upon, like the belief we can know if we test it. The scientific method called the presuppositionalism presuppositionalism of method as opposed to presuppositionalism of substantive content, where you just assume a body of knowledge. Science says, yeah, it's okay to start out with this, we think we can know, but now let's test it. And they use mathematics. Mathematics is logic. And so I'm just, I don't want to get too passionate here because that guy heats me up with his, he sounds smooth, but he is a living contradiction. And I wish he would come back and listen a minute or go to that site and understand what's going on. But at any rate, you say the differences in science, do they lead you to religious convictions, correct?
Correct.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because the Bible, one thing about the Bible, I think, which the gentleman was just stating, it is provable. It's testable. They have, when the Bible says, you know, something is at a certain location, I mean, sometimes there's been no other evidence for it. But the archaeologist Spade has, you know, corroborated the scriptures, you know, time and time again. And the scriptures do not, although the scriptures are not science, it's not history, it's not economics, but when the Bible speaks to those issues, it speaks accurately. And so it's a phenomenal book, written over several thousand years, about 40 authors. All of them are in agreement. Can you imagine that? All of them testify to the same, you know, truth, as it were.
Right.
So, yeah, and as I said again, you need science to prove things and test things, and then you need a morality to show you how those things should be implemented or if they should be implemented at all. Because, I mean, we have germ warfare, biological warfare, chemical warfare. We have all of that stuff, right?
Right.
Yeah, but then we have what's known as, what's the World Council out of New York? What are they called right off
the United Nations?
I'm sorry, which?
The United Nations.
Right, exactly. And they talk about what? Human rights violations. We were talking about it the other day in the Declaration of Independence, which Joe acknowledged is the foundation of the U.S. Constitution, which I agree with. You know, it talks about rights being given by God and are inalienable. So, I mean, you know, escaping a being, going right back to that central question, why is there anything as opposed to nothing? Everybody runs from that question.
I got a question. I got another. Well, Lo, you got anything to add to if I ask the next question?
Well, yeah. Just one thing about the little snippet about the United Nations. There have been more wars since the United Nations was formed, and you know, that is that a coincidence? I don't think that those people are representative of any religion. That could be just anyway, you know. And as far as the UN was concerned, I listened to and I also read an excerpt from a speech that Ahmadinejad gave at the UN, and he was asking questions as far as, you know, why is it that we have, and he went into economics, and some people got up and walked out talking about that, and he started in on religious aspects. And the majority of the people got up and walked out about that also. I mean, if they are actually talking about things as far as human rights and things of that nature, I listened to the man's speech and I read the excerpts. If he was actually talking about things as such, why would people get up and walk out in offense to those things unless they're not in line with what those people are actually wanting to be there and talk about? You know, we all know the first thing that the United States and the rest of the powers that be will do if they want to demonize someone is they'll start to attack them in the media. And after that, I sit there and I listen to this man's speech, and nothing that he said was derogatory to the point where anyone had to get up and walk out. And he was only addressing human rights. You know, and as far as the sciences go, we have scientists now. I was showing someone the hamburger alongside the watermelon in 180 days, and the hamburger still looks exactly the same way it did when it was purchased. And that's science. Now, knowing something like that, and these people are selling this stuff every day. Could this be something that's healthy for you or me or anyone else? I don't think so. But that's science. And for you to do, for you to sell something just to make a profit, for you, excuse me, and knowingly not let people know that this stuff ultimately will kill you. There's nothing in you that's from a religious aspect at all. Nothing. I don't care how much money you donate to these charities or whatever, and you have people coming out and smiling and you get some star and all of this crap. There is nothing about you that's religious at all. If you would willingly sell someone something that you know is going to harm them in the long run and send them running to the sorcerers, the pharmaceutical companies. I think in the whole entire world, and I will get the numbers to specify, only in this country can you advertise on television pharmaceuticals. Nowhere else in the world. Is that by chance or is it by happenstance? That's a question I have, because when you go into the sciences versus the religion. See, religion was hijacked by Constantine in the first place. I mean, you tell people, hey, well, you're not supposed to celebrate Christmas or Easter or this or that. Oh, they'll ask you why, and you give them the explanation. You go straight to the Bible, or you go from another source of information and show it to them, and they'll still do it just because it's custom. And the Bible speaks against that. But they don't want to hear this stuff. They're just used to what they're used to doing. So when you deal with the religion, you actually have to separate yourself from a lot of the teachings that's only there to hinder your process as far as your spirituality anyway. So I'm done with it.
All righty then.
Hey, Eric. No. What he said, Lowe said, see, what people often don't understand is what solution is or what the resolution is to their concerns. Mm-hmm. Now, having these kind of discussions in the UN, and by the way, the U.S. has the deciding vote in the UN. So, you know, be that as it may. So they have what you call ultimate authority as to what decision is rendered by the UN. But the UN is supposed to be a watchdog for humanitarian interest. In keeping with people's personal inalienable rights. And we said yesterday, I think we agree, that the United States is very specific in its spelling out of rights. And the way all of this is integrated, and I'm sure you see it, is that from a moral standpoint, which is where I think religion often does, just like with the young men or young women meeting you in a dark alley, and would it matter to you if they had just come from Bible study? I think the average thinking person would say yes. And by the way, Michael just had to go. It wasn't I ran him
I'm
away
back too,
like
baby.
That.
No, I'm back. I just
no,
had to calm
okay.
down. Oh, you
that
already know I don't run from no nothing. You
hey,
already
man,
know.
Hey,
that.
Man, hey, let the man
I can listen
to
you.
You
got
to come in here grab your balls. Just let the man
No, he the one brought my name up, sir. I can respond to my name. I'm listening.
Do it matter? Does it matter? Does it matter?
Yes, it does. When
what we have,
when he addresses me, sir, it does matter when I'm on the phone.
No one is attacking you.
You're not my authority. I'm not talking to you, Mr. Lee. I'm talking about No Low.
I know who you're talking. I know who you're speaking to. Thing of it is this: it's what do we want? When you ask the average person, well, yes, I hear your concern, I hear your problem, but what do you want to satisfy you? That's where they hit the brick wall, because they haven't even thought it through that far. They don't know what will satisfy them. And all they're into is the fight-flight mode. They're not into the resolution mode. So that's what I'm encouraging people to do. But science and religion, just like a lot of the other disciplines, have their place on our plate of human choices, options, and endeavors. It definitely should be there. And I think religion helps to integrate science, as we're saying, you know, as I was pointing out before. But because people can be very inhumane toward each other and will if they're given the opportunity. Greed, abuse. I'm surprised that people are still murdering people. Think about that for a moment.
Well, they do it because for religious reasons. Why do the Muslims hate us? Why do when America go into another country, we free all their people up, and then after we let them have their elections or let their dictators, they kick us out? Because of religious reasons. Look at history. Look at factual information. Most wars are thought over ideology, theology, religious beliefs.
But I'm not talking about wars per se.
Let's look at that angle now. You just said why people are still murdering each other, and I'm letting you ask the question, and I want to address it. I'll be quiet, Mr. Shah. I'll be quiet.
Well, no, according to the World Almanac, you're wrong. More deaths have come at the hands of atheism than under religion.
That's a lie. Most people in jail right now believe in Christianity. Most people in jail are Christians.
Wait a minute, that's a separate issue. Hold up. Time out. Michael, they're not killing anybody in the name of their religion. They're killing people in the name
I'm not talking about in the name of nothing. I'm not in the name. Hold up. Excuse me, sir.
Excuse me, sir. You're talking about Mike.
Many people throughout the years have killed in the name of because of their God and their belief. You know that. That's not why most people are stealing or killing. Are you talking about now, or are you talking about in history in general? I'm talking about history in general, or throughout history up until now, most wars have been talking about religious wars. That's a fact.
I directed you to the World Almanac. You can go there and look at the numbers of people who've been killed under religious regimes as opposed to atheistic regimes.
Hold up. I'm talking about religious people go to war against other religious countries. Listen, you're cutting me off because you're trying to avoid my point, and I'm trying to make a point about
Eric,
religion.
You should go with the next question at your convenience, but I will listen to Michael.
Wow. See, you know I'm right. See, when you do that, I'll be quiet. Let's go to the next subject. But when you do that, you know I'm right. I'm not even going to finish my point because you know my point and you know I'm right. We can continue.
Mike, are you sure you don't want to finish the point?
No, he already know I'm right. So what he just told me to go on, he knows I'm right because he doesn't want me to finish. So let's go ahead. Let's go ahead to the next question.
Why presuppose purpose? What if there is no purpose? Does there need to be a purpose?
Oh, that's wonderful. I love that one. Go ahead, Michael. I know you're rip-roaring to take that one on.
Purpose of what? A purpose of what, sir? What are you talking about? What is the question?
The question is, why presuppose purpose? What if there is no purpose? Does there need to be a purpose?
Well, see, that question, I don't worry about that question, sir. All knowledge is limited. See, when someone says they know how the world was created and they know how the world's going to end, if they say they know that now, that person knows all. They have to. If someone says they see, sir, all knowledge is limited. There's no mankind in the world that if anyone pictures how the world was created, someone came in your mind and got it into you because you're coming from their thought.
Michael is filibustering.
What do you mean? I'm letting you know I'm not going to answer that question because I don't know that question. Why should I even be involved in that
type of thinking, sir?
Because that knowledge is limited, sir. That knowledge is limited. And one thing I do know, existence, energy can't be created and destroyed. That's a fact. Existence is always existence. That's all that I know. Now,
can you answer the question or not?
He's asking me, does it have to be a purpose for all of us being here? And I'm letting you know, I hope you're not asking that man. Okay, whatever, man, whatever.
Anyway, you want to restate the question, Eric?
Okay, the question is, why presuppose purpose? But if there is no purpose, does there need to be
a purpose? That is the quagmire that your atheists and agnostics, you know, and Dr. Weinberg deals with this question, and he is an atheist, by the way. He's a Nobel Prize winner in theoretical, and he's at the University of Texas at Austin. Brilliant, brilliant man. But he says to himself, I mean, he says in his book that he is an atheist, and he realizes that being an atheist means that ultimately there's no purpose. He said, so we create our temporary purpose, and that's loosely translated as to what he said. But at least he was honest about it, because if there is no God, there are no moral standards. We just do what we want to do when we can do it.
That's a lie. That's a lie. See, they brainwashed. See, that statement that you just said, where did you get that from?
Michael, please be muzzled.
Hold on. Where did you get that from? No, you cut me off, now I'm cutting you off. Now, you just made a statement, and I'm glad you brought to that statement. You just said if it was no God.
Michael, you just said
it would
you
be
were
totally
going to be quiet.
So, no, shut up. I'm like you today. I'm sorry. I'm asking you that question. You said your theory is that we don't have a religion, that we don't believe in God, that God controls us, that this world would be in total chaos. And I'm saying, how can you prove that? Mankind, his history has came up with that God, and they told you that. Now, I'm letting you know, I want you to explain God to me. I'm not an atheist. You can't define me and describe me as an atheist. How dare you describe me? Because as soon as you give me the definition of an atheist, I'm going to ask you to describe that definition to me.
Okay, atheist means can you hear?
Yes, I can hear you.
Atheist, when you put an A before a word, in this case a noun, theist is the noun, so it reverses the word.
Okay.
It means no God.
Okay. Hold on. And now, for me to clearly understand it, now you said atheist means no God. Now, I'm going to ask you, hold up, because I want you to, because I'm asking you, you're teaching you, you're my teacher, I'm the student. I'm going to ask you a question.
Well,
okay.
Let me say this first. We're not getting too much of atheism, because that's your tomorrow. So you save all that for tomorrow. You want to know about atheism, okay?
Okay, all right. Yeah, that's a good point. But see,
yeah, but he's bringing it up, man. He's bringing it up. Are you talking to me or him?
I was passing through, Michael. You are the one that you know brings the confusion. But the point, though, is Eric, that's the ultimate question of comfort and reality and sanity. If there is no God, if there is no supreme being, then we are it. And what we need to understand, there is no right and wrong. It's just what we choose to do. And I was giving the example of what Dr. Weinberg said about it. And he is a scientist. And that stuff that they teach works. The quantum physics defined the integrated circuit, and it conforms to a mathematical formula. And, you know, discovering the speed of light, you know, the space-time fabric, how they're in Newtonian physics, how they're able to launch a rocket and, you know, connect with their target. So all of that, and you should know that, I presume, being a person of somewhat of a science background.
No, that's factual. See, that's factual information that you can measure. But when you're talking about that man in that wheelchair talking about back holes, that's theoretical.
Michael,
a belief. What the fuck are you talking about? I know the difference. See, you didn't let me hear me. You didn't let me cut you off, because if you listen to what I'm trying to say, everything will come clear, because you're mixing the two sciences up together and getting every fucking body confused. That's why you cut me off. You're getting everybody confused. There's a difference between going to the rocket in space, that's factual science, and theoretical. When you're talking about black holes, Martians, aliens,
What is that? What are you talking about? Going to the rocket in space. What are you talking
about? Well, listen, you know what I'm saying.
That's why I'm asking you. What the hell are you saying?
Shooting a projectile into space, that's factual information, that's factual science, that's the nature science, you can do that. But there's also a type of science where you talk about theoretical, like that man in that wheelchair that's
Stephen
Hawking.
Why don't you
Hawking
answer
saying?
The question that Eric, you go off on all these, inane and nonsensical tangents. He asked about purpose, and you don't know about purpose.
Oh, what do you mean? I know my purpose in life. What do you mean? Listen. I want you to play this tape back, and I want you to remember what you just said. You just looked at me and tell me, listen. I want you to listen to yourself, because this is what's wrong with the world. This was wrong with religion. Listen to you. You just looked at me as a man. You're cutting me off because you know I'm going to get to my point. Stop cutting me off. You looked at me as a man and told me that I don't have no fucking purpose in life. You crazy as shit, yo.
That's
what's wrong. You just told me, because I don't believe what you don't believe, that, Michael, I do not have no purpose in life, and I'm letting you know your type of psychotic, the way you observe me, that's what's wrong with the world, sir.
Michael, that's exactly what's wrong.
What did you say? You said I have no purpose. I believe in no purpose.
Michael.
You said this because I do not believe in your concept of the way things of it is.
Hold on a minute. You won't even stop. You have diarrhea of the mouth.
Michael,
you can re-ask him the question. Maybe he's talked himself into an answer, or you may move on to the next questions.
Michael, I'm going to put it this way real fast, Michael. Make sure and sweet. What was your purpose? I mean, what?
what is my purpose in life?
What was your point that you were trying to make?
No, your question is kind of iffy, because you're saying people are saying that there's no purpose of living, or if there's no God, no one has a purpose in life. If they don't believe that there's a God, they don't have no purpose in life. And I'm letting you know that's crazy as hell. Because soon as you say God, I want to talk to you about God. Explain to me God. Give me the image of God. Describe God to me. And every time you describe God, I guarantee you the word that you describe God has no clear mental picture. It's confused. That's why people go to war. That's why you have different religions over this concept of God. I'm not an atheist. You can't define me, sir. I'm living. I deal with the nature. I'm still learning and exploring. But let me tell you something. See, you bring them comments like that. You can't define me, sir. I'm a loving person. I wouldn't hurt nobody. But you look at me and say, just because I don't believe in you, I'm going to hell and I'm the devil. No, I'm not. I don't believe it. I know that. But no, I'm letting you know that's what the type of religion is. And I'm letting you know that my whole point of the day is this, and I'll be quiet. My whole point of the day is this. My whole point of the day is this, Mr.
The hell?
Is there's two different type of scientists, and there's the theoretical scientist that believes in the Big Bang.
That's not the question. Question was about purpose.
Okay, and what are you saying? You saying that you have?
Could I just chime in? Because man, damn! I don't want to hang up, but I'm getting to my point. Wow.
Okay, look, we're going to move on to the next question, okay? Here's the next question.
Ask me your question.
Can one believe in God?
Back up, Eric. Ask me your question.
Okay, can one believe?
Ask me your prior question.
The one we were just working on?
Yes.
Okay, why presuppose purpose? What if there is no purpose? Does there need to be a purpose?
Okay, my answer to that is yes, I do have a purpose here. My purpose here is first and foremost to serve the Almighty, the Most High. That's my purpose here. My second purpose is to serve mankind properly. It's not to create war. It's not to create a class system. It's not to cause calamity or anything that goes against the natural order of things. You live, you're born, you live, and you die. It is my purpose personally is not here to accumulate everything for me and to make decisions for everyone else based on what I think. See, what if there is no purpose? I can't really say that I agree with that at all because it's crazy.
Exactly.
So,
the question is crazy. That's what I was trying to make.
No, it's not. If you would just shut up for a minute, man, and let anybody else say any damn thing, maybe you would have something else to say other than the first thing to come to your mind.
What are you talking about? Hey, look, shorty, I don't have to think about something.
You're absolutely right. You're the man that will not think before you speak. The first thing to come to your head or come out your damn mouth.
What do I need to take back that I said, sir?
Wow, I'm calling like it is, Michael. You just
No, you said I think.
I don't have to think before I. You just said
No. You said so. You mean to say I need to take back something I said? Tell me what I need to take back something I said because
okay,
evidently
look,
you must
look,
be saying that because
right,
I think
I may say so.
I speak before I
think.
Eric,
to refine your question.
Dumb the question down. There you go. Dumb the question down.
You mean dumb the question down? No, his question is about religion and spirituality and science. So what I was saying, he was saying about purpose.
Michael, please.
Okay,
please.
Let's move on to the next question.
Wait a minute, Eric, before you move
no,
on.
No, this is Eric's show, man. This is not your show. Move on to the next question, Eric.
Eric, what I was going to say about your last question is it would be appropriate to insert ultimate purpose. Because obviously we can have temporal purposes, but ultimate purpose, I think, would help clarify that to the thinking person.
Good point.
Okay. We move on to the next question. Here goes the next question, gentlemen. All right. And, Michael, you get first shot at this, okay?
All right.
Can one believe in God and accept evolution?
Well, see, all of them are theories. I'm talking. You asked Michael a question. Don't include me in no group. I'm me myself. Both of them are theories. Both of them. Now things have evolved.
Okay,
I haven't seen a bird or what have you, but it was a theory to me.
Mike, I'm gonna read it one more time for you. Can one believe in God and accept evolution?
Yeah, one can believe in anything. Yes. They can. People do it all the time. They can. People can believe in anything they want. But I stay on the factual side of things. And I look at the world the way it is. Now, I learn and understand things. I evolve. But I try to look at things the way it is and leave that stuff alone. So it confuses me too much. Because every time I deal with that belief stuff, I always contradict myself. And I always sin. And I never be I stay with myself and to do what I want to do. You can believe. Anybody can believe in what they want to believe. But when you take that belief and look at somebody and say, if they don't believe what I believe, they this, say that, I think that's a psychological problem.
Okay.
Me personally.
All right. Thank you. All right, Lo.
No, you cannot. You're only going to serve one master. You're not going to serve two masters. And the scripture even said you eat a hot or cold. I don't believe in evolution. I don't believe in evolution. And if a man would say I'm confused by it, that would be more of a reason for him to dig deeper to get his confusion straightened out. And no one is without sin by any means. No, there was only one perfect being that ever walked this planet. So as far as understanding how everything works, like I say, we went and talked about this scientist and all of it. We haven't said anything in reference to what the words have to say about it.
Oh, we can go there, sir. I'm just waiting.
You see what I'm saying? Let me ask you a question, man. I remember when you first came on this show and Mr. Solutions was saying, so I was telling my cousin the other day, Mr. Solutions was saying something. You came in, you said a few things, you got pissed off, you cussed him out, and you left. And slowly but surely, you came back in here. And now it's like, you know, people are so used to saying, Micah, hold up. Hey, bro, I mean, I just got to ask you, are you the only guy in the room that's ever going to talk or supposed to ever give your opinion on any and every specific thing that someone says?
Well, first of all, I'm caught.
If you're either you're quick to speak or you're slow to respond, which one are you? You could,
okay, well, first of all, I'm calling the talk show to give my opinion. Number two, I deal with people like Mr. Solution, who always cuts people off. Everybody cuts everybody off.
I'm not
and
asking
I,
you about Mr. Solution. I'm asking you about you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
mean,
not
I,
asking,
it,
I'm not asking
it,
you
it
what
is
you
what
do.
It is. It is what it is.
So only your opinion counts? Only your opinion
no,
matters.
My opinion doesn't count. That's why I listen to y'all.
Actually, your
we
opinion
debate.
Does matter. You take all of this and you put it together. But if you only going to get all eggs, you'll never get a cake.
Okay,
you
so what are you trying to
eggs,
tell me, sir? What are you trying
here?
To tell me? I'm still trying to get to your point. What is your point, sir?
My point is, man, sometimes just shut the fuck up and let somebody else answer something or let it go ahead and flow on. I was done talking. The man was going to say, okay, well, Mr. Solution, what do you think? That's what my point is. And I hate to bring it like that, but that's just how it is, man.
You know what? Today I noticed something. You just don't like what I'm saying, sir. Let's get down to the facts.
Actually,
the reason why the fuck you really, because you don't like what the fuck I'm saying. Let's be real with
you. And I'm not.
You don't like what the fuck I'm
saying. I'm not concerned about what you're saying, boy.
All right. Stop. God dang, y'all. Can we have a conversation? Can we just have a conversation? Please. Respect each other. Thank you. That's all I'm saying. Mr. Solution, you want to give your response to the question? Wow.
Oh, wow. You know, we need the Michaels of the world. I'm sorry. Restate the question. I sidetracked. Please restate the question.
Can one believe in God and accept evolution?
Oh, okay. Yes. Well, okay. First of all, you have to define what you mean by evolution. Evolution means change. Now, some people use evolution to mean origin. If you mean origin, no, because evolution cannot explain origin. All it can explain is change. And all of this actually revolves back around the same base. We see intelligence, we see extremely fine-tuning of the earth for life, and we just see absolute structure, profound structure. I stated that Google number to you just now, and that speaks to the anthropic principle, which means the universe is finely tuned to allow life. And so... you know, if you mean evolution in terms of origin, no, because evolution cannot produce origin. But in any species, there's flexibility built in. There's the flexibility to adapt. That's what heterosexual sex allows, as opposed to asexual sex. Like, for example, if you take salamanders, if a disease occurs in a salamander population, it wipes out virtually all of them because they have no defense. Whereas in heterosexual sex, it gives different genetic makeups where one has the ability to ward off diseases. And so what I'm really talking about is survival is built into the human genome. In other words, it's built into human DNA. And there is, because if you look at human beings around the world, they have slightly different adaptive capabilities. Some have a greater, if they live in cold climates, they have a greater fat content to help them cope with the cold. The kinky hair of the Negro, you know, living in sub-Saharan areas, very temperate zones. The darker skin, the melanated skin, of course, allows for lessened sun damage. And so many of the characteristics that you see in human beings were built in for survival. And other species, humans and other species. Does that answer your question pretty much?
Yes, it did. it did. All right, here's the final question of the day before we just get carried away. Can one
Rick, I'm sorry to cut you off real quick. One of my friends just sent me a text message saying he's trying to call in and he's trying to chime in, but he's getting blocked for some reason.
Oh, wow. Man, I don't know. Since we're all talking about this new thing, man, I don't know what's going on. I can't even pull up my chat room. Tell him just keep trying. 347-838-8622. Okay. Now, as I was saying, going to the next question. Can one both accept what science teaches and engage in religious belief and practice? We start off with Mr. Solution.
Okay, I need a little bit more definition there. You can reread it, but...
Right, that's how the other question was, with that purpose. It's kind of
okay. General for me there, Eric. Okay. Can you hone it down a little bit?
I sure can. Okay. Basically, can one both accept, I guess you say the different, oh boy, I hate to use this word, Darwinism, evolution, and still engage in religious belief and practices? In other words, can they still, you know, believe religiously in what they believe in, but accept the other theories also that's out there?
Well, maybe not. Okay, go ahead. I heard some background noise.
No, that's like the last question. You just put Darwinism in it. That's just like the last question.
It doesn't matter.
Actually,
Darwin said evolution, and he said the first question was evolution. And
Michael, you go ahead
evolution
and answer
evolution.
It, and then I'll answer it after you.
Okay.
Yo, hey, look, man, look, hey, no low. If you got a problem with me, look, we can talk about it, sir. Look, the reason why you...
God damn, Michael, didn't I just tell you, oh, Lord. Anyway, we're going to bring 510 in. 510, you're on the air.
All right. First thing I wanted to say was, the guy, Michael, he's kind of on point with this one right here. And I have to say, because I do actually know Lo personally, yes, I'm trying to talk to him about this subject, you're not going anywhere. You can't have a real conversation about the subject, especially with people that really totally believe in the Bible that strongly.
Right, and I try to state facts, sir, but I'm listening to you. You're right.
There you go. We're interrupting again.
So this is like, it's almost like a waste of time, a waste of breath, because it seemed like the first three people that were talking are real strong Bible believers, and there's nothing that's going to discredit that. You know what I'm saying? So it really just, it doesn't even make sense to even talk about
it. Exactly. It's a waste of time.
Like I said, I've talked to Enolo, and we talked about it on the phone, and I'm not even going to go into the whole, because I've known this guy for some years now, and we're not going to go into the whole how wishy-washy I won't say wishy-washy, but his views on his religion have changed. You see what I'm saying? But no matter what, they all stay within that Bible. He never took the time to research anything outside of that Bible.
Okay, sir. Well, let me ask you a question. What are your beliefs?
Excuse me?
What are your beliefs?
Good question.
I have no beliefs. I don't believe in anything. I don't believe in a God in the sky or any of that.
So you just here. You just basically got here.
Excuse me?
What you're saying. Since you don't believe...
I'm doing the exact same thing that you are, sir, with your beliefs.
Uh-huh.
The exact same thing that you're doing. I'm waking up every day. I'm breathing. I'm eating. I'm shitting. I'm going to work. I'm providing for my family. I'm doing the same exact thing that you're doing. The only difference is I don't believe in the fairy tale God that you believe in.
Okay. I understand that, but here's my question. You say you don't believe in anything. You have to believe in something.
See, if anything, I believe that man is God. You create this
there you
idea
go.
Of God in your mind. Because why does there have to be a purpose? And why do you have to have an answer? That's the only thing. The Bible is a quick solution. It's a quick fix. It's an answer.
See,
but
notice what he just said, though.
That is right.
Yeah, but he knows what he just said. He just said you have to believe in something. Mr. Talk, you can't tell that man that he has to do that. Mr. Talk, you can't tell him that. No, I know. I know.
No, I said it.
No, Mr. Talk told you that you have to believe in something. And I'm saying, Mr. Talk, you can't tell that man that he has to believe in something. That's his freedom.
Okay.
As long as he treats you as a good citizen and don't do this, I mean.
All right. I just want to say something.
Okay, I'll be quiet.
Thank you. Let me bring Ebony in, see what Ebony has to say about it. Hello, Ebony.
Hi. How are you?
Hi. Okay.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you guys?
Hello, Ebony.
I'm scared now.
Okay.
Okay. So I just wanted to put this one little thing forward that they say that by faith, believe. If you have a faith, that it's not by sight. You just believe that things will happen because not based on any real facts, because there is no facts. But that's what faith is about. It's about something there's no evidence that you believe.
Okay, what's that noise?
Oh, okay. I don't know. What that sound is.
Okay, I got it.
Out there. Okay. So I just wanted to say that, I know you're going to talk about atheists tomorrow, but someone was talking to me about the fact that they have no belief whatsoever and they don't believe in anything or any God. And I was like, okay, if you were in a turbulent airplane, okay, would you have a belief? And I think, that's a question. When the life that we know, okay, because we only know what we experience right now, when that life is threatened, or the possibility is that it will come to an end, either through illness or through misadventure, do you call on yourself or do you call on a higher being?
Can I answer that question?
And that would be my question. And most, and can I just say, it's interesting. Nobody is an atheist, turbulent plane.
Okay, and I will let you know what. Well, first of all, I don't use those terminology, atheist. I if someone ever calls me an atheist, we can debate about it, and I'll prove them, and I'll let them eat their words that I'm not one. I'll guarantee it. But, ma'am, the reason why they do that is because when they were little, they were trained to say that. And it becomes psychologically programmed in them to do that, even though they don't want to, even though they look at the religion, they can clearly see the contradictions. They can see it. They want to get away with it. But when you're saying that they're in a dangerous spot, they say, oh, my God. So a lot of people say things like that because they were trained little to do that. So that's the answer to your question.
But what I'm saying is when you're in danger, right, when you're in danger, just whether you were trained or not, right, most people, when they are in danger or their life is threatened, they call on something greater than themselves. It may not be a God or religion as we are talking about today, but you call on something greater than yourself because you believe your mortality may not be able to handle what you're about to face, right?
Okay, and listen, and the name that you call on, where did you get that name from? It has to come from your past. It has to come from your past.
It could be from your past, but I'm saying it could
no,
be
no,
also.
No, 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 no.
Hold on.
Ebony,
hold on.
I'm sorry. It's not what it could
name.
Be. It does.
I don't want to get trapped in the conversation about a name, okay? Because
but that's what
not
you're bringing
about
up.
Name. It's not about the name that you would call. It's about you calling on something greater than yourself. So you may call that thing or that experience or whatever it is, you may call it God. You may call it Allah. You might call it something else. But you
and
know
where do you get
most
that from?
Most people will call on something greater than themselves. I'm saying, is that true or not?
And right, but I'm saying if they do, I'm asking you a question. Where do they get that from? They got that from their parents. They got that from the past. They got that from the old tradition and religion.
They may even get that
and then
from the experience that they've had. that, you know, okay, the experience.
I'm speaking fact, ma'am. They're getting it from their parents. They're getting it from their old traditions. And I'm letting you stand when an atheist does
Michael,
that.
But it could be also that you feel that in a situation where you're threatened, that you can't handle it on your own, and you need something greater than yourself. That's all I'm suggesting.
And I'm letting you know the reason why is because they were trained to do that when they were little. That's what I'm saying, ma'am.
Yeah, so that's...
Exactly. So that's the answer to your question. I'm just trying to answer your question for you. You're asking why.
Hold on.
I'm just asking why.
But I'm saying you're limited in the answer because you're saying you were trained...
I'm not. I'm giving you the answer.
Hold on. You were trained to call on a name or whatever. What if you weren't even brought up religious? What if your parents weren't religious?
Okay, and then you wouldn't be doing it. Hold on. If I lived in a town, you know, you asked me a question. If I grew up in a town where no one used the word concept of God, and if I get in a car accident, you're telling me that I'm going to spring something, and I'm telling you no because it's not in my memory to do so, ma'am. It's not a part of me to do so. That's a fact. I can't utter a word that I don't have no knowledge of. So I'm giving you facts. I'm not trying to argue. See, ma'am, I'm not debating with you because I'm speaking fact. You came to the table and you said, why do some atheists get into trouble and they scream God? And I'm letting you know the reason why. Now I'll be quiet.
Yeah, but I'm saying the reason you're giving is not the only reason. Could the reason be, okay, just open your thinking, could the reason also possibly be, because, you know, conversation is not about, your conversation is always very limited to this is fact or this
right,
is what, or this
but,
isn't.
Right, but
what
ma'am,
I'm saying we're debating.
I don't want to debate.
Well, why are you on a show if you don't want to debate?
No.
Well,
I want to have a dialogue.
No.
There's a difference between a debate and a dialogue. See, when we have a dialogue, we can learn. Now, I'm coming with the dialogue debate with perfect.
Let's have the dialogue, let's have the debate, whatever we want to call it, and let's just listen to each other. And I'm saying, when we get to a point of the conversation, we've met it, let's open it up and see if we can reach the other possibilities. That's how we learn when we discuss, right? And what I'm saying is, don't limit the conversation to one answer. Let's have a look at other possibilities, right? I'm saying, you said that, I heard what you said. Now I'm saying is, let's stretch it a little further. Could it be, and look at other possibilities, could it be that when we do feel threatened, okay, if we get found out, if we find that, for example, we've been diagnosed with a terminal illness or something, that sometimes we want to call on something greater to support us than ourselves. I'm not saying that has to be God. I'm not saying that it has to be Allah or anything else that's out there, but is that a human thing that people do because they feel they can't cope with something that they have no control over?
Okay, now I'm...
Now
can I answer your question?
Yeah, I'm just saying, don't jump to an answer until you've listened.
No, ma'am. I'm not rehearsed because I know myself. I'm not no image, ma'am.
Okay.
I listen, Ebony. I will answer your question.
Okay.
Ebony. What I'm saying to you, Ebony, for a fact, ma'am, you're saying that... It can be human. You're going into the theory realm. That's why we have religion. That's why we have wars. I'm sticking with facts. You're saying, but let's go and stretch it, Michael, and let's go into a far-off theory that none of us can prove and say that if no one can ever hear anything and if they get in trouble, they're going to call on somebody higher. And the only thing I'm telling you, I'm speaking fact, that if someone does call on something higher, someone has to put that in their head to think of that. That's all I'm saying, Ebony. And
right.
if you want to go into the theory realm, that's
okay.
the difference between
saying,
fact
I'm just
and theory.
Okay, that's fine. Has anybody else got an opinion? I heard what you got to say. Has anybody else got an opinion?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, let me hear your opinion.
And my opinion, first and foremost, is wars are not created because of religion now. Wars are created because of greed. That's fact.
Okay.
There's no such thing as a crusade anymore, per se, to convert all these people into anything. But there is a crusade on wealth. And once you actually just follow the money, as they call it, you'll find out who is behind, who perpetuates all this stuff.
Wow.
Okay.
those.
This guy does not know the word of the infidels. They do not want Americans because we're the infidels.
Michael,
they don't
silence,
want them.
Who is they?
Silence,
who is they? You don't even know who you are first.
What are you talking about? Hold up. I know who I am, but you want me to be who you want me to be, sir.
I
know
who
the fuck
I am.
I
don't want you to be who I want you to be.
Yes, you do. So how can you? So hold up. When you just said I don't know who I am, you're looking at me, observing me, saying I don't know who I am because guess what? You want me to be like something that you want. No, sir.
Hey,
I know
brother,
me,
brother,
sir.
Brother,
you're
brother,
mad.
Brother.
You know what?
Brother.
If we wasn't talking about religion.
Thank you.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Lowell, finish your statement, please.
Okay. Like I was saying, see, you have to take this stuff all the way back. In every culture, people believe in something. I mean, I don't care where you go.
Yeah.
In every, you can go to the four corners of the earth. People believe in, even if it's a rock land.
Yeah.
People believe in something.
That's the point I was trying to make. That it isn't that people. It isn't that it's always about religion. It's the fact that we're mortal beings, okay, and we don't always have control. We don't have total control of everything that is about us. So sometimes when we're faced with things that we don't, that is outside of our own control, or we believe is outside of, I shouldn't say it's outside of our control, but that we believe it's out of our control, we call on something greater than ourselves. It's a bit like when you hurt your knee and you call your mom. Okay, mom, come and help me, when you were a child. Okay, it wasn't that your mom could stop what happened. It's that she represented to you something greater than yourself that could support you when you felt very vulnerable, right? So when we're vulnerable in life and we face things that we can't cope with, we often call on something greater because we need that support to get us through. I guess that's the fundamentals of faith. That's where it all comes from. The fact that people pray. The fact that people pray because, not that anybody has any real proof that prayer, will move mountains. But what we do know is that people who have prayed, who tell us they do that, okay, what they get is a tremendous force that supports them to get whatever it is they feel they need for themselves. So that supports other people to want to then copy that act and do it for themselves and see what they can deliver for themselves. And it all comes with that same thing that, you know, as human beings, we're vulnerable. We, you know, our lives are very short on this earth. We're only here for a time. And it is a comfort to have something that we can't necessarily prove, but is a mental support, as it were, for our vulnerabilities.
Right, but other people can't. You're right. But a lot of people have comfort in their life without believing in certain things. That's I know. See, this dialogue. If me and Lo was talking about something else, if me and Lo would not talk about no religion, I guarantee me and Lo would be good friends. But as soon as we talk about something that has been dividing people since mankind, Lo will look at me and he'll start attacking me, and we'll start attacking each other. That's why I really don't even like talking about this stuff, because it's static, because there's no growth in it. There's no growth in it.
Why do you do that? Because at the end of the day, why do you need to do that? Because at the end of the day, what
I needed to do what? I don't understand what you're saying.
Why would you need to attack anybody over religion? Okay.
No, that's what we're doing now.
Well,
the conversation is this.
There's no reason to do that if you guys would step outside of what you're talking about and look at it. Religion is not it's something that has been constructed out of a belief. Okay? No, it's not based on total facts. It is belief. It is belief. And
right.
Get real. Some people.
And hold on. And listen. But then that belief tries to control and dictate people. That belief says something that may be part of nature, like homosexuality, is bad. Listen, come on. We can keep talking about belief. Let's go to Genesis.
But if you want to take on that belief, okay, and interpret it and translate it in your own life to mean that you have to then exclude other people because of what you think and what you are following,
Yeah, and let me say this. Michael only Michael and people like him.
Excuse me, what are people like me, sir? Excuse me, what are people like me?
Michael, let me finish the point.
No, 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 no. I want you to define me. No, no, listen to me. I want you to...
Michael, let me finish the point.
Go ahead, Mr. Solution. Go ahead.
Thank you. Mike, if you notice Michael's argument, and Michael doesn't make a good argument, but he does enter some ingredients and elements of people who do offer decent arguments. But one of the points that he raises is he disagrees with the socialization process when it applies to religious beliefs. But he's very careful not to understand or not to deal with the fact that being human beings, we are gregarious and we're socialized virtually to everything that we do. Otherwise, we're psychopathic or sociopathic. So I'm just pointing out that the socialization process of human beings is vital to their being human beings.
Right, but a lot of religious people are psychopaths, man. Anytime that someone goes to war or what they believe in and kill another man in a war, I don't
Michael,
care
that's
country.
Not the point.
Even going to war, even if I go to war, I'm still crazy. That's dysfunctional,
You're
sir.
Missing the point. That's not the
no.
point. I'm just saying.
What do you mean? You said we're barbaric. Sir, most of the people in the world are religion, and we still barbaric.
The reason you don't learn anything is because you don't listen.
Okay, hold on. We got somebody else who want to say something. Go ahead, 510. I think that's
okay. I just want to say that when he said people like who and you know, here's the thing, and what he's saying about Lowe is on point. Like I said, I know this man personally. I've spoken to him. We'll sit there and we can have conversations on the phone for hours. And soon as the topic goes to religion, that's the end of the conversation, pretty much.
Breaks our friendship, man.
But wait. One of the reasons for that is religion brings accountability.
It divides us. It divides us. We're telling you the truth.
Few other issues bring one into accountability.
I can have a conversation about religion all day. It's not me. I'm not the one ending the conversation.
Okay,
and I'm not the one that if I don't agree with what you say, now all of a sudden you're calling me stupid and stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but do you understand the point that generally the reason
about religion?
The reason many people have heartburn with religion is because it holds them accountable. Nothing else does.
Oh, that's a lie. You mean to tell me I'm not going to hold accountable nobody? So you mean to tell me I don't hold people accountable for nothing? You crazy. So
right.
I just put you on right there.
You have
Michael,
rules
you don't
that hold
it.
People accountable.
You should listen.
You can't
you
just live your life how you want to live. You have to abide by the law. That has nothing to do with religion.
Well, but what I'm saying is the law deals with, and most of the laws, sure, that's what I meant by our socialization. But the fact of the matter is the law doesn't place the same accountability on you that God does because God tells you to acknowledge him as creator, as Lord. And most people don't want to do that. They want to see themselves as little gods.
Okay, but you just said God is a him. Now, when you say God is a him, you mean to tell me? No. You just said no. Let's talk about what you just said. Since I'm confused and I'm crazy, you just said God is a him. So you telling me you have a mental picture of God? So God
I know the level of your ignorance.
No, you're an attorney. What do you mean by God is a him? And I'm listening.
To argue an issue, I know you're.
Where did that concept come from? Tell me, explain myself. I'm listening.
I'm going to argue that with you, Michael. You don't understand.
Well, all right. So we go back to what the other caller said. There's no use for us having this conversation because it's static. You just say, I wanted you to explain yourself, sir.
I know you. I've
you can't.
To you,
you know why? Because
you don't
no,
understand.
No, no, no.
Wait.
The
do
reason
you
why you're running from my question, you are an attorney, and I know that if you could
heard
answer my question, you would have.
Morphism.
If you, as an attorney, you would approve it. Look, you
have
any
kind of
I'm not
going to talk
wrong.
To you, you idiot.
I know,
have
because
you ever heard the word
now he's going on
morphism.
Attack. have I heard of what?
That's what I'm saying. You should shut up. You don't know what you're talking about.
I'm asking you a question.
You're not asking me a damn thing.
I'm asking. I'm A-S-K you in a question, sir. You
okay, well, what I'm saying to you, are you familiar with the term anthropomorphism?
No, I am not. I'm listening.
Okay, then I don't want to have this conversation with you.
Oh, see, listen. Listen, you cannot explain your concept of God in English terms. And you know what? Everybody on this phone know you're running from a debate from me, sir. Stop talking out. You know you are. I'm going to be quiet, man. I'll listen.
Look here, you know
yeah,
I love you a bunch. I hope you take pride in that lie.
Well, you know what the interesting thing is? That I don't know if anybody who's listening has learned anything from the conversation, because you're all kind of stuck in your own area and nobody's willing to give way to a conversation which allows you to learn anything new. So there is nothing new that's been produced from this conversation, and there's nothing new that anybody will learn except that Michael's stuck in his way of thinking and refuses to budge and to look at anybody else's. And everybody else who's talking on this line is in the same position. So maybe whoever said let's not debate it is probably right. Because unless you're going to be debating.
You don't debate when you speak facts, man. When you speak facts, there's no debate. It's actuality.
Unless you're prepared to debate and be open to learn something in the process from someone who may know something slightly different to what you might know, then there's no point.
Man, what can you tell me? You can't tell me nothing, man. You can't tell me. I used to sing on the church choir.
You
can't tell me anything. You can't tell me anything about religion. No, I'm letting you know something about myself. I used to sing on the church choir. So, no, I'm giving you something about me. I'm letting you know that you can't tell me nothing about me.
How to everything you've learned about religion right up till now. That's all it means. And you're not open to learn anything new except what you think you know in your experience. And that's a really hard place to be in. I'm not judging you for it. I just think it's limiting and it doesn't help anybody who wants to learn anything more. That's all.
Well, I was just giving y'all my personal background since you said, Michael, I don't want to learn
Michael,
anything. I just wanted to give you my personal background to let you see where I'm coming
Michael,
from.
You've made it very clear in everything you've said and probably...
No, not that, sir. When I just said I sung on a church choir, I'm letting you know my background. All the other before I said that, you didn't know that about me.
Michael,
that's what I'm just saying.
What does that have to do with anything, Michael?
But it doesn't mean
I'm letting you know why I said it, because she's saying I don't see her point of view. I already know her point of view. She's saying I'm stuck in my ways. I've evolved into what I've been in.
How can you know what someone... where someone's coming from unless you're willing to listen to that person's view on life.
Man, I know your view. I know your view, man. Excuse me?
How would you know? And even if you're
because when you came to the table with your hypothetical question about the atheist, I've heard that before, ma'am. I've already heard that view before.
So you know how many times in life we say we've heard something, we know something, yet we know nothing. We only know what we hear in that moment. And sometimes you need to stop rehearsing conversations from things you've heard and actually listen to what's being said. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
And,
but that question that you asked us, I heard that before. You heard that before somewhere, ma'am.
Did I hear that from? When did I hear that from someone?
I'm just saying that hypothetical question that you gave to the table about someone calling out the name of God. I've heard that hypothetical before. That's
did
all I'm saying.
That?
I've heard that concept before, ma'am. And what I'm saying is, I'm bringing fact. I'm not bringing a belief. You can't get mad at me when I'm speaking fact.
You can get mad at me all you want.
You can get mad at me, but you can't get mad at what I'm saying. Get mad at me all you want, but when I speak fact, you can't get mad at me, man.
Yeah, Michael, but I'm saying what's interesting is that everything you say is fact. Hold up for a minute.
Michael, now, Michael, you're working the nerves now. Let her finish. Ain't nobody saying anything because you won't stop talking long enough. And now what they're talking about. Shut up and listen, Michael. Good Lord, we know what you're saying. But let somebody else get their point across. working the nerves.
I think he's fine. I think it's okay, fine for him to say what he feels. But I think what we aim to do when we have a dialogue or even a conversation or whatever is to listen to each other. You know what? I really don't want to debate now because I don't think there's any point because you got to listen to what someone's saying before you decide that everything you say is right and everything the other person says is wrong. Because we don't have all the knowledge and we don't have all the experience. And that's the great thing about life, that we learn from the people that are around us. And, you know, the things Mr. Solutions mentioning tonight that I didn't know, you know, I've learned something from his conversation. There's things you are saying that I might not know, but I've got to listen to you to hear it. But if you're going to come out, you know, I am talking facts and no one else, anything you say is not of any value, then there's no point you talking to anybody except yourself.
No, but see, ma'am, I listen to you, but I want to say something real quick. People are not used to hearing fact. They're used to hearing people opinion, theory. We fight over theory. We argue over theory. Look at the, Congress and everybody fighting about what they think. We never get down to the facts. So when I speak facts and tell my point of view on how I look things, people think those facts are my opinions because they're not used to hearing facts. They sound like opinions. So when I told you about how why someone would do that, I was speaking fact on how the memory process is. That's all I was bringing to the table. That's the only thing I'm saying.
According to what you know. Okay.
No.
All the knowledge in the world. Do you own all the knowledge?
No,
in the
I do
world?
Not. All knowledge
okay.
is okay. Knowledge is limited. But what I'm saying to you, what I said about if you said, why does the atheist do that? When I presented those facts to you, you can't deny that.
I'm hearing what you're saying, but I'm still going to say to you, in my opinion, that might not be the whole answer. And that's what I said to you. I said,
and then the only thing I'm saying to you.
Further and look at any other possibilities. That's how you learn. When you were in school, did you just learn from one thing you were told, or did you go into books and research and look for more?
When I was in school, hold on. Yes, right. But now that I'm an adult, I study and I learn. Excuse me?
Research and learn more from a conversation than just one point. This is a fact. I said it. That's it. That's the answer. You don't need anything more.
No, hold on. No. Because religious people speak what you speak, ma'am. See, I was speaking fact. Ma'am, religious speak, ma'am. You came back and you said, hold up, Michael. You need to think more and go into a realm that me and you can't even prove. And I'm saying, hold up, I just get away from that. You can do that. But I'm speaking fact. When you're talking about some quote-unquote atheists and how they scream out, I'm speaking fact on how the mind works.
And is it not a fact that atheists do scream out?
And you're speaking theory, belief.
Oh, hold on. That's not theory. If you're in a plane with a bunch of atheists, right, tell me that they don't call the name of God. Yes, they do.
Ma'am, and I'm letting you know if they do, they got it from their childhood, and I'm letting you know why.
Okay, that's one reason they might do it. But is that the only reason people do that? Is that the only reason? I just leave it there. Thank you.
Yes, that's the only reason why they would do that, ma'am. Yes, and do you want me to prove it?
Do you want me to prove it to you
in less than 60 seconds?
Your opinion, thank you.
It's not my opinion. So, ma'am, I can prove it to you by speaking all fact, no opinion. But you won't let me. See?
Be heard, and you have to be the only person heard.
No, I guarantee if you give
I'm
me, you're scared, I'll prove it to you.
What I'm saying to you, you don't have to prove anything to me, Michael. You don't have to prove it to me.
Why not?
It's not.
Why
important.
Would you want to verify
it's
what I say? I want to.
It's not.
I want to give you verification.
It's
what I'm saying.
That important to me.
Anyway,
if I
just may interject a moment.
You don't want to, ma'am.
Go ahead,
Mr. Solutions.
The scary thing about this. Now, Michael is entertaining. I'm about to go have an enjoyable workout. But Michael is entertaining.
This is my workout. I have a rough job, sir.
Stop a minute. Shut up.
Shit.
The point is this. All of us have a little bit of Michael in us. Hopefully less than more.
Wow.
Now you've got to realize Michael's purpose. Michael is what you call an agent of confusion.
Wow.
His purpose is to bring confusion to a conversation. And so when you understand a person's purpose, then you're more comfortable with what they do. And he's entertaining. He talks. See, Michael doesn't know how he learns.
See, you know he's attacking me. He's never attacking what I'm saying, y'all. Listen, I want y'all to play this tape back. Listen, I'm attacking Michael. He never attacked what I am saying because I'm speaking all facts out of belief.
Michael, shut up. You don't have to defend yourself.
You can't attack what I'm saying.
One voice.
If I'm wrong, just let me be wrong. But you have to stand back and look at Michael and learn to enjoy him. I do.
Personal attack.
Okay.
Hello? Eric, as far as the science is concerned, the question is a good topic and everything. What is your personal belief?
My personal belief in what?
In the question that was brought up today, science versus religion.
Well, put it this way. Why do I hear it? Okay. My personal belief is has not proven that the existence of a God, that there is no. What is that noise? Wait a minute. I got it. Okay. My personal belief is. What happened here? Oh, my dropped out. Okay. Anyway, my personal belief is that there is a God. Okay. Science is science, but science has not proven in any way that there is no God. No, I do not believe in evolution. No, I do not believe in the Big Bang theory. Okay, I don't believe in any of that. So basically, that was what my beliefs are. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to everybody, and you know, like Mr. Jones, I learn a little bit from each and every one of you. However, you know, my beliefs are my beliefs, which, you know,
well,
that's what everybody's, you know, capable of. That's your belief. But if
my position is, I'm sorry, had you finished?
Yeah, I'm through.
Yeah, as much as I study the issues that I talk to, for example, you just said that the Big Bang has not been proven. Well, the expansion of the universe through the Doppler shift and that sort of thing, they can determine that objects are moving away from each other. And they can even tell you the speed. They can tell you the rate. So I think we need to, you know, I guess understand that. You can go and look that up. Okay, now when you talk about evolution,
right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you listened when I said if you talk about evolution in terms of origin, well, then no. But what about evolution? The word evolution just means change, change, change. Now, if evolution is given that definition, which it is, do you disagree that it exists?
No.
Okay, but that's the point. See, if we listen to things and understood them, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure you do look words up in a good lexicon, that's always helpful. I think we can come very close to being in agreement on most reasonable things. Now, when you talk about science, part of science is logic, reason, mathematics, which is a language of reason, and testability. So I think it's just an issue. Now, Michael, on the other hand, Michael will only deal with hard things like 2 + 2 equals 4 if it refers to he's going to lose that amount of money in his bank account. He's not going to agree on anything else because it doesn't fit with his particular ideology, you know, and he wants to be in control. And that's fine if one deserves to be in control. He doesn't know enough to be in control. And so, but those things, Eric, I would just, you know, say consider that. When you say evolution, you mean change. All of us see change.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He went from a boy to a man, boy to teenager, adolescent to a man, so that's changed.
I'm speaking more on origin than, you know, the
exactly, exactly. Right. And that's why a lot of times what I think we can learn is specificity, to be mm-hmm. more specific, just like when I said to you about purpose. Well, anybody can say, well, yeah, my purpose is to eat and be healthy. Yeah, that's a temporal, that's an ephemeral purpose. That's not an ultimate purpose, because you aren't going to eat always. And we know that because graveyards and funeral homes are still open.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so I think those are the – and see, Michael is not going to stop talking long enough to hear anything rational. And I'm glad I got that in, by the way. Damn.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about science as well is that it actually bears out some of the biblical prophecies. So, you know, there is that, you know, if you look in the Revelations, if I remember my Bible well, there is that whole kind of prediction of the end of the world and the generations and what would happen to the later generation, the latter generations, and this big ball that is, you know, it talks about a big stone that is not cut out with hands, and that's rolling towards the earth. Well, you know, scientists have said that there has been something like that in the science, you know, in the scientific kind of stratosphere, that that there has been this thing rolling towards the earth. And I remember a few years ago when people were worried that, you know, the world as we know it would disappear at some point if this thing that looks like a rock that was cut out with our hands that was rolling towards us, if that was going to get rid of the earth or what would happen. So some of the things that are in the Bible are quite interesting. I think, you know, it's prophetic, and people may say, you know, the religions that have been constructed out of that book, I think, are where the fault lies. I don't think there's anything essentially wrong with the book, and some of the things that it says is well beyond its years, right? And we can't doubt that some of it has some serious truth in there, because it's been borne out by things that have happened. But I think it's a way that people have used that book. And if you think about the number of religions that have come out of that one book, that just tells you that everybody decides to translate it, depending on their thinking, in the way that suits them. So we almost, you know, create something that is a religion, because, you know, that is about how we see what we read. And it's always going to be different depending on which eyes you're looking through. But the book is essentially, there's nothing wrong with the book. Yes, it may have some inaccuracies, that's what people say, but I'm more interested in the prophecies, and I think the prophecies prove that there is some truth there. But I think people do what they want. If they choose to follow a religion that has been constructed by a man, because we know that is man's definition of how he feels we should live, based supposedly on what's in the book, but everybody translates it sometimes differently. So, you know, maybe that's where the fight is, that we can't agree on the ways to God, as it were. But, you know, even the Bible says itself, there are many ways.
Many ways to what?
Who knows who's right? Well, it says that there are many ways to see the truth, because, I say it's true to me. You may be a Roman Catholic, you say the truth is this for me. I may be a Jehovah Witness, I say the truth is this for me. You know, someone else will be a Seventh-day Adventist, the truth is this, the Sabbath is a Saturday, it's not a Sunday.
Okay.
You know,
okay, let me cut you out right there. First and foremost, before you go and jump on a religion that's been created, I don't know, 50, 70, 100, 150, 200 years ago, the first thing you would need to know is to find out the origin, where it came from. And this is from my perspective. And I'll say it candidly, it more especially black people knew nothing of Jehovah's Witness or any of that stuff before they were brought to this country. And the bulk of the quote-unquote religions
that they enjoy now. The scripture says no man knows the time nor the hour. So as far as people looking out in space, the scripture goes against that too, as far as figuring that you know exactly when this is going to happen. You would ultimately be going against the prophecy. You know, if the word says you don't know when it's going to happen, no man knows when it's going to happen, and then you get some sign, oh, well, there's an asteroid coming towards Earth. So you just predicted that it's going to happen, and you know, it's going to be 2 days, one more day. I mean, you've had people to quote-unquote prophesy this stuff time after time after time.
Right.
When Scripture specifically says no one knows when this is going to happen. So all that does is create chaos and calamity, because I remember when people were stuck on this, the computers crashing and all of this stuff for the year 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the only thing I did was I went to sleep and I woke up the next day. I didn't go buy water and all of this. It caused confusion. And in some scenarios, I'll bring out really
what I want to say.
And
who says the world is going to end the way that we think it's going to end? Who says it's going to, you know, who says it's not about a renewal of some sort of the earth? Who says that it's going to end the way that we think it's going to end? Because, you know, the Bible says. Well, you know, people say that, you know, Christ is going to come down out of the sky. Well,
people don't say that. The Bible says that.
The Bible says that, but, you know.
Yeah, the Bible does say that. So it's not people saying that. It's the Bible saying that.
How do we know? The Bible says that. How do we know it will happen the way that we think it's going to happen? Because everybody's created almost a picture of that happening in a certain way. But we don't know that it will happen that way. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's still an interpretation.
Well, what I really would like to go into, I'll hold that for tomorrow. And
okay.
First and foremost, you have to get to the ground floor before you ever build a building. You have to, and once you get to the basics, you'll understand a lot of things. See, the Bible has explained so much, and I'll be the first to say, I told the guy that asked, well, N.O.L.O. said this or said N.O.L.O. said this or that. My friend that's on the phone right now. I'll say it. I told him in a text message a couple of days ago, I learned better, and so I started doing better. That's for me. You know, I can't speak on anybody else. And if you believe something, that's totally what you want to believe. Do what you want to do. That's fine. I can't force anything on you. But it also comes a time when you decide, hey, you know, I really don't have time to go back and forth with this anymore, because all it's going to do is cause confusion. So my point is this. When you have people saying that, I'll use evolution again. People, it fits. I mean, the monkeys, whatever the hell they are, they crawled and they can stand upright. And so people started to they evolved from that. They changed from that. That's crazy. And like
the
I said, we first
still
started,
the monkey.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like I said, when we first started talking, that man did all of that lying about evolution, and on his deathbed, the only thing he wanted was a Holy Bible. So that within itself is a contradiction, because, I mean, you this is what you've been pushing throughout all of the time you've been in everybody's face, you know, running your mouth about this and that, your theory this, and people using all of this in schools and whatever else the case may be. And all of a sudden, when you land on your back about to go, you're not concerned about any of that foolishness. So,
because
you know,
that's the one thing we don't have the answer to. That's the one thing we can't prevent. We can theorize about everything in the world, but the one thing we don't have control over is our mortality.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm 37. I don't know when I'm gonna go, but
well, that's it.
I feel that. You know, you're right. And if there's a guy laying on his sick bed and he's thinking, oh man, I'm an old man and I don't have much longer here, I need to get myself right, because I know I've been pushing crap all this time.
Well, it could be also that he gets to that point and he thinks, I really don't know. So I don't know, because we don't know. We really don't know. I don't know whether what I think or what I've tried to get people, where I've asked people to push their minds to, is the right place to go. And I don't even know if the thing that I've opposed for my whole life is the right thing or the wrong thing. All I know is that the one thing I don't have control over is the fact that I'm going to leave this earth. So maybe I need to embrace something more than just my own thoughts. Okay, and that's all I was saying, that, you know, sometimes we limit our thinking to just what we wanna accept and where we wanna go, and open your mind. That's what life's about. Open your mind and open your thinking to everything. Doesn't mean that you've got to believe it or you've got to follow it, but recognize it for what it is. And if the Bible has value, look at its values, test it, check it for yourself, know whether it works for you or not before you reject it. Do you know what I mean? Don't be on this course in life where it's going to be wrong because we've been socialized to have it. Yes, we've been socialized to have it, but does it have real value? Is there a place for it? That's what you need to work out. That's for me. That's how I see it. But, you know, other people may see it differently. Yeah.
I'll go with that.
Yeah.
I do agree. You know, everyone, I mean, it's one thing for you to receive your own interpretation. But to just discredit the entire thing as a whole, I mean, this book was written a long time ago, and you see yourself specifically in time and space in the situation that the book said you would be in right now, and you would discredit it. I don't understand that, but you would read something else and say, well, oh, yeah, well, you know, that's credible. I really can't understand that.
Very interesting point. Very interesting. I like them, though. I like them. Let's see.
I don't understand.
You don't understand? What do you don't understand?
No.
I'll call you when we get off. How about that?
No, let him go. Let him go, boy. We got.
Don't call me stupid this time.
Okay. What is it you don't understand, sir?
Huh?
Say, what is it you don't understand?
Well, I'm pretty sure that everybody sees their self and things in the Bible, within the Bible, sees their self in those situations specifically. You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's what it is. That's why people are drawn to it. That's why people are just, like, fanatical about it. You see what I'm saying? Everybody can say that. Not a person on this planet, walking on this planet, can't go to a scripture and have been in this situation or can see the situation coming.
Mm.
That doesn't mean that this is true.
Okay. Well, I'll say it like this. The Bible and the laws, that Bible was written specifically for a certain group of people. Specifically. The laws were brought down from the mountain for a specific group of people. And it was upon those specific people to bring this information back and to teach the Gentiles. The Jews, not the Jewish people, the Jews were charged with this. And being that they did not keep these commandments that they were given, all this calamity that fell upon the face of the earth is the reason why. I mean, everything could have worked out just fine as long as they kept the laws. You have people right now that read the Bible, and it says, hey, you don't eat pork, shrimp, crab, or lobster. But they'll make up an excuse for it because of something that they've been taught. And so, like, what's their background?
I don't know. Keep going.
But like I say, there was a specific group of people in that Bible that these laws and the Bible was written for, because the Most High has a specific people. And we've been taught and trained from growing up to adults. Oh, well, yeah, you know, the Lord loves everybody. and he's all loving and he walks around with roses in it. That's not true. I serve a just God, and he's if you want to call it selfish, you call it selfish.
So he has favorites then.
Mm-hmm.
He has some that he likes more than others.
You asked me three times, I'll give you one answer.
I didn't know if you heard.
Yeah, I heard you. Like I said, there was a specific people that he gave his law, statutes, and commandments to.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that.
Don't have to agree with it.
Well,
it's in Bible.
I'm just giving you my point of view. I don't know why a God or why a book, right? There's so many millions of grace would be just for a specific people. The reason why I say that is, yes, it was written in a time frame and in a certain part of the world, but at that time, that was the world that was known to itself, right? So looking at what was given more than who it was given to, and you've given a lot of focus on who you think it was given to, what is there? What is there that anybody else could not embrace? The general laws that are there, you know, the
No. See, what you've done was you brought just a smidgen of confusion. I did not say that other people could not embrace this.
You said it was for a specific people, and I'm saying whether it was or it wasn't, okay, and it could have been because it was the Bible is written in a specific place, and it comes out of a specific time. So yes, it would be for a particular people who were in that space at that time. What I'm saying is, moving past that point, the reason why I moved past that point is because what is there in the context of what is there when I read it for myself, I see something that almost anybody who chooses to can embrace. Do you get my point?
Absolutely,
right? There's nothing there if you wanna live a disciplined, healthy, moral life, basing it on the morality of what the Bible sees as good living, and which in life we embrace as a good way to be. So whether we agree or not, you know, we don't think it's good to kill people. We don't think that you should steal from someone. You know, all those basic laws which came down as commandments are the way that we generally, you know, manage our societies, right? We try and say to people, those are the things that you don't do. And when people do it, we punish them, okay? So what I'm saying is, that there is nothing there particularly that says to me that if you want to live a certain life of discipline which allows your families to grow and to do what they do and survive, and for us to survive as human beings together, there's nothing there that anybody could not embrace.
Well, again, like I said, those laws, statutes, and commandments were given to a specific group of people. You have the Jews, and you had the Gentiles. Now, see, the thing is, most people today don't read from the Old Testament. It's highly not encouraged to by most of your churches today. And if you read from the Old Testament, you will find out a lot of things as far as those specific people. Matter of fact, Jacob and Esau, the two brothers. Now, the scripture says that the blessing would come down through Jacob. The Most High loved Jacob and hated Esau. But they would tell you, oh, the Lord loves everybody. Oh, he just adores everybody. That's not true. The scripture says that plain as day. And even as far as Cornelius, the centurion, he was not a Jew. But he was accepted in the sight of the Lord because he kept the laws that the Lord put forward. Jews were put there to teach these people how to live.
Okay.
All right, y'all. We're gonna have to leave it right there. We can pick it up tomorrow.
Yeah, I think so.
I think Ebony got a show around the same time tomorrow, don't you?
Yes, I do. I have a show. Actually, I'm continuing the conversation we had the other night, Eric. We're actually talking a bit more about women in the 21st century being able to submit to their men.
Okay.
So
yeah,
we started it the other night, and I think, you know, I've learned so much more about it in the time that since my last show, because so many people have sent me comments and their own thoughts about the question. But I think it's still an important one, and it has some biblical foundation, actually. yeah, for people who like to quote the Bible, yes, wives, submit to your husbands, you know, that one that came from, I think it's Ephesians 2, verse 22, something like that in the Bible.
I think that's in 5. Maybe another word you want to introduce as parallel with that word is collaborate, because the whole purpose of yielding, just like when you come to a sign in the road that says yield, that's so that you won't crash. So it is really to facilitate the relationship and not to demonstrate superiority versus inferiority.
Yeah, I hear that. But someone gave me a really good, if you guys missed the show because you're in Mr. Talk, just something that I will probably share tomorrow night.
How about that?
Yeah, I listened to some of it. I actually listened to some of your show.
I said, shoot your phone number out there. That's what I said.
Oh, my phone number?
Your show phone.
Yeah, it's 347-945-7556. So people want to listen in or listen to the podcast if you can't get in live. But, yeah, call in definitely and let me know your view. And Mr. Solutions, I'd be happy to have you on. If you want to come on, let me know your view.
I've been on your show before, but thank you. I appreciate it.
That's no problem.
Absolutely.
We'll talk about it tomorrow anyway. But I did have an analogy for you on it. But we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Any final words?
For me?
The ebony for our music.
Oh, just final words. Oh, just to say that, religion doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be controversial, and it doesn't have to be bitter, and it doesn't have to be twisted and painful. I think people can choose to believe or not to believe. But I think in all things, check it out for yourself and work it out where you stand. And that's most important. And then, you know, just if that's where you are, just be happy that's where you are. And you don't have to fight with everybody else in the world to believe what you believe or think what you think. That's what choice is about. We have a choice. We have a choice to believe or not believe. But, you know, go out there and research things and learn. That's what life's about.
All righty. Thank you, ma'am. And thank you for joining us today.
No problem.
510. Final words.
I'll tune in tomorrow. I want to see what they're going to say tomorrow.
Of course you do.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thanks for joining us. Okay, Lo.
All right.
Final words.
Yeah. Hey, good show, man. I'm glad that, you know, even though it was a lot of, you know, over talking and all of this, I'm glad we had this show because it actually brings about a different form, you know, and something to talk about other than just, you know, the normal relationships or what have you. You know, it could have been one thing that was said by somebody that touched somebody and, you know, brought forth some type of different insight on something, you know what I'm saying? So, good show, man.
All right. Thanks, Lo. Okay, Mr. Solution?
Yeah, Eric. Yeah, I think you do a great social service. And even though as I stand back and look at this, you can obviously tell that we're just learning the steps to locomotion, just like a little child learning to walk. Mm-hmm. And that's okay because that's crucial in the locomotion process or the ambulatory process. And so it's good from that perspective. And no one ever starts off at the end or, you know, at their goal. They progress toward it. And so if there's any consolation in the bickering, fighting, the Michael element, you know, we're growing toward that particular goal, mm-hmm. at least most of us have. And I learned something from each encounter. So I think subjects along this line
are very good. And what happens is you see they come out of theory and out of academia, and they apply to our personal lives, because most of the show got into, well, religion and religious practices and personal beliefs.
Right.
So I think that's a good thing as to how we bring these issues into our personal lives and perspectives and how they impact us. So overall, you're the maestro. So excellent show again.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Solution.
All right. You're quite welcome.
All right. All right, y'all. Despite not having a chat room, which I don't know what's up with that, but I will work on that one. Another great show. I want to thank Ebony, Lowe, Mr. Solution, Michael, you know, 510. I didn't get his name, but thank you for joining us. Everybody else who's out there listening on your telephones or the new iTunes, what have you, thank you for joining us today. Let's see. Before I go to say my final say, don't forget Saturday, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, we have a special edition of Let's Talk, and we have a renowned author, Dr. Vivi Monroe Congress, and she'll be joining us for a special show on relationships called Conflicts and Resolution. So make sure you join us for that. Okay. As far as the topic today, science versus religion. Scientists don't know how life got started. I mean, 50 years of laboratory research, you know, and because living matter, you know, just even single cell forms have been extremely complex, our entire society is divided over the theory of evolution. This has caused controversy and it's entered our schools, religious teachings, and politics. Unless you have noticed, faith in God is currently under attack in the country by secular scientists and secularists. For those who have faith in God and for those who have chosen not to accept God on faith, if you look at modern scientific discoveries, they will find overwhelming evidence of the hand of God. But, of course, make up your own mind about your faith in God, or whatever suits you is fine with me. I am very satisfied with what I believe, and finally, I believe in God and have faith in God. All right? And so that is what I believe. And don't forget when you go home tonight, kiss that special someone, tell them you love them and you appreciate them. And we'll see you here tomorrow at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern. And the topic of the show is atheism. Is it the new religion? All right. So with that being said, y'all have a good one. I'm out of here. Talk, please, talk, please, talk.